Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Fire and a fire representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Let the West coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck.
For the first time in history, a former U.S. president has been charged with multiple, 37 in this case, federal charges stemming from the investigation into his removal of classified material from the White House and his attempts to hide it from authorities.
Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced. We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone.
The ridiculous and baseless indictment of me by the Biden administration's weaponized Department of Injustice will go down as among the most horrific abuses of power in the history of our country.
You can't have one faction of society weaponizing the power of the state against factions that it doesn't like. And that's what we've seen.
Okay, so a lot of different viewpoints here on the indictments against President Trump for basically mishandling of classified and, you know, higher levels of classification documents and for refusing them to give them back to the federal government. I tend to look at things like this and say, all right, what are people I trust saying? Are they saying this is a bunch of hooey? Are they saying that there's something to this? And, you know, two of the people who I think, you know, deserve quite a bit of respect are not saying that it's hooey. In fact, saying much more than that. One was Catherine Herridge, who was one of the great reporters at Fox News, and then she moved over to CBS, and she did all kinds of national security reporting. And she says,
Catherine, you've been doing reporting about the risk assessment, about just what was in these documents. Educate us on that.
Well, what jumps out to me, John, is when you go to the section on the willful retention of national defense information, by my count, there are 21 top secret documents, and the disclosure of top secret information has the expectation of exceptionally grave damage to national security. But what stands out to me is some of the classified codings like TK or talent keyhole. You don't see that very often. That's about intelligence from overhead imagery. For example, if we're looking at a terrorist target, do we have such good visibility that we can count the hairs on their head? Can we see what they're eating for breakfast on their terrorist patio? Those are capabilities that we don't want our adversaries to know that we have. Then also special access programs, or SAP. These are highly restricted programs because of the sensitivity of the intelligence and the technology, such as stealth technology, for example. Think of classified information like the Pentagon. Special access programs are these handful of rooms where there's just a limited number of keys to control and restrict access to that information. Some of these are way beyond top secret. Like I said, talent keyhole, when you're talking about special access programs, or SCI, sensitive compartmentalized information, these really are the crown jewels of the U.S. intelligence community.
And the key here is that these are, you know, obviously very concerning documents dealing with very important subjects like nuclear program, defense capabilities, potential vulnerabilities to attack, this kind of stuff that Trump himself had to know he wasn't supposed to have, actively seems to have taken steps to prevent them being recovered by the federal government when it was discovered that he did have them. That's one of the key distinctions here being made with Biden or Pence. Hillary Clinton is another matter. We'll talk about that in just a second. But even Trump apparently is acknowledging on a tape that he could have declassified when he was president, but he was showing this to somebody or waving it around in front of them that, you know, he wasn't anymore, which undercuts his claim that just by virtue of his persona, you know, the breath of Trump declassifies something, or the thought in Trump's head declassifies something, which even he knew that was incorrect at the time he was saying it, apparently. And as Bill Barr, one of the other people I respect greatly, a former attorney general, says, look, the problem is that these documents just don't belong to him. It's just, it's in no universe would anybody think that these belong to him. And he talked, what he said were the two big errors people have on this subject.
So there are two big lies, I think, that are out there right now. One is, oh, these other presidents took all these documents. Those were situations where they arranged with the archives to set up special space under the management, control, and security provided by the archivist to temporarily put documents until the libraries were ready. These were not people just putting them in their basement, okay?
So that was one.
And the second thing that the president, this idea that the president has complete authority to declare any document personal is obvious. It's facially ridiculous. That opinion had to do with the distinction between official records, which are records prepared by government agencies for the purpose of government action, and personal documents, as opposed to official documents, which are things prepared by the president, such as a diary or notes, which are not used in the government's deliberations.
He says there's basically no universe in which it makes sense to believe that he should have had or kept these documents.
This entire thing came about because of reckless conduct of the president. If he had just turned over the documents, which I think every other person in the country would have done, they're the government's documents. They're official records. They're not his personal records. Battle plans for an attack on another country or Defense Department documents about our capabilities are in no universe Donald J. Trump's personal documents. They are the government's documents.
And yet, I know the way people think, because I've heard them and seen them say the basic thing is, look, it's just always about getting Trump, and they'll do anything they can to get him. Okay, I understand that, and I agree. In the past, that has often been the case. But that doesn't mean just because he's persecuted doesn't mean he doesn't commit a crime. Right? It can be both. Right? It can be all persecution, but it can also be mostly persecution and then some actual criminal behavior. We'll get to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything is running fine right now. We're not showing any backups or anything if you're trying to get into the front or the back gate this morning. That looks good. Warrington not showing any issues. Lillian Jackson also clear. Hey, if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the conversation by Bill Barr on Fox News Sunday yesterday. This, to me, I thought was the most interesting comment he made, because the rest of it was just kind of explaining the charges and the seriousness of them. But as far as this pattern of persecution, which I, same, you know, my first reaction to these charges, oh, here we go again. You know what I mean? Here we go again. And I, look, I'm, you know me, I am a Trump supporter. I was reluctantly drawn to be a Trump supporter. I have always had very mixed views on him. I still, to this day, am highly conflicted on President Trump. So I'm certainly not like, you know, Trump train type person. But I also recognize that he did amazing things as a president. And yet I see this, you know, continuous attack against him, like anything will do as a way to distract you from other stuff and to try to get at him. And so my first reaction was, well, just another case like that. Here's what Bill Barr said.
I defend the president on Russiagate. I stood up and called out Alvin Bragg's politicized hit job. And I have spoken out for 30 years about the abuse of the criminal justice process to influence politics. But this is simply not true. This particular episode of trying to retrieve those documents, the government acted responsibly, and it was Donald J. Trump who acted irresponsibly.
And if it is different, like he seems to think it is, and other people seem to think it is, it seems different to me as well. I certainly don't want it to be true. Why would you want a former president to be, you know what I mean? Like, why on earth would you want that? Even though I don't want him to be the nominee, okay, because I don't think he can win in the general election, I certainly find this, if it is persecution, I find that repulsive. But of course, I find it disgusting if he kept documents and didn't give them back when he was supposed to. You know, that's repulsive too. Now, somebody made an interesting comment to me. This is somebody whose opinion I value greatly. Said, these charges are going to be in Miami. You're not going to find a jury in Miami that's going to be willing to convict him because there are so many Cuban, former Cuban sons of grandsons of, you know, they recognize government oppression when they see it, and there's going to at least be one on this jury that's going to nullify that, which is an interesting take on the impossibility of getting a conviction for this. 437-1620, 437-1620. So lots to be said about this. There was one other thing I was going to tell you, and then all of a sudden it went straight out of my head. Matt Gaetz, our congressman, of course, was in Jay on Friday, and he made comments about this. Channel 3 had these Where did I put that? It was, oh, here we go. Okay, here was his comments about this.
I believe that the indictment of President Trump is political and outrageous and, like, facially hypocritical. Joe Biden has had classified documents in his home since 1974. Literally everywhere they looked, from Obama to President Clinton to Mike Pence to President Trump, there were documents indicating probably a broken process.
I agree with that. I think the process is certainly broken. And of course, Joe Biden wasn't even the president, right? Trump at least has the appeal to the presidential records power, or the power in some circumstances to declassify. Does that justify him holding on to them and not cooperating with turning them back over? No, it does not.
I also don't think it's a coincidence that on the very day the FBI has to turn over evidence of the Biden family accepting millions of dollars in bribes, they choose that day to indict President Trump.
It's a fair observation. So there's a lot more to be said here. And as Bill Barr and others have said, Trump gets his day in court. He gets to present a defense, and you have to wait until that moment. I mean, even Mike Pence, when talking about this, is he gets to present a defense. We get to hear that before we do anything else. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Although the Blue Angels are the oldest continuously organized flight demonstration team in the world, they were not the first. Before we explore the history of the Blue Angels, let's take a look at those who preceded them. Flight began with the Wright brothers' first flight in 1903. The birth of naval aviation was 8 years later, in 1911. Recognized as the grandfathers of precision aerobatic flight, the Three Hawks were the Navy's first exhibition team. The Three Hawks were a three-plane team formed within VB-2B Squadron in 1928 at NAS North Island in San Diego, California. They were the original Felix the Cat Squadron, which served aboard the aircraft carrier USS Langley. Flying Boeing F-2B-2s, the Three Hawks' first public exhibition was at Mines Field, what is now Los Angeles International Airport, during the National Air Races September 8th through 16th, 1928. They flew formations which were, for the time, considered exceptional. Some maneuvers even involved flying while tied together with ropes. The Three Hawks represented the Navy at air shows until late 1929, when all three pilots received orders to new assignments and the team disbanded. Another team from Squadron VF-1B aboard the USS Saratoga, called the High Hatters, flew during the late 20s and early 30s. The team consisted of 9 aircraft and pilots that were rotated among different sections within the squadron. Even Charles A. Lindbergh flew with the High Hatters during the Cleveland Air Races in 1929, 2 years after his solo flight across the Atlantic. The Three Flying Fish was an exhibition team formed at NAS Anacostia in Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1930. 1 year later, the men were transferred and the planes returned to use in the regular fleet. Meanwhile, onboard NAS Pensacola, a group of instructor pilots within Training Squadron 5 formed a team called Three Galantzels, a name taken from the high sails on square-rigged ships. The group flew together from 1930 through 1932. No other naval flight demonstration team would fly until the end of World War II, and that team was the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
How and why the Blue Angels were formed will be covered next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Don't forget who the real enemy is. He is described in 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is the diabolical one. He is as a roaring lion who is prowling around the neighborhood seeking whom he may devour spiritually. Inside a home, a brother and sister or a husband and a wife may be arguing, maybe slamming doors and yelling, but the moment that they recognize that there's a prowler outside the house, the petty petty differences and the argument disappear, and the family unites as one to protect their home. So it is God's call on His children to be sober and vigilant and resist the real enemy, the devil, and he will flee from you.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time, and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
One of the reasons I love working with you, Candy, because like Scott Salas, who's one of the principals at Dalrymple Salas, the architectural firm that's working on the new sign, the Pelican sign, you know Scott as well as I do, and you knew that he loves Prince, so you played
that's
Prince.
That's right.
Song for
I wanted
him.
To play Prince
See,
for
that's
you, Scott.
Great. All right, let's give him traffic on the fives before we get to that.
Okay, roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns right now. Pretty nice over by that welcome sign, I would say. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, Candy, thanks so much for that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Three people have died after a shooting at a home in Maryland. Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley says it's an example of senseless violence. Police confirmed there were six victims. Former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has passed away at the age of 86, although no official cause of death has been announced. He reportedly had been suffering from leukemia.
All right, thanks so much, David. Now, Scott Salas, who is a principal at Dalrymple Salas, you might hear the name similarity, for the local architectural firm that does all kinds of stuff. Like, every time I talk about some project, Scott's like, I'm involved in that. You want to know more? It's like every time. Scott, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for awesome walk-on music. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's all Candy. Candy is, that is all. She's your gal. Okay, so I'm just going to come clean with you, Scott. When I first saw it, I was a little bit, and every time I look at it again, I'm more, like, it's really grown on me quite a bit. How did we get to the point of having this pelican as our welcome sign?
Man, that's the question. And the story is a long one, and I'll shorten it as quickly as I can. We've actually been involved with trying to make something happen here to replace what used to be the Five Flags Plaza.
Yeah.
We've been working on it almost 3 years.
Wow.
Involved with the FDOT. And initially, FDOT has architects, and those architects are down in South Florida, and they were tasked with doing that project and replacing the plaza. Their solution was a giant clock tower, and that clock tower came in at almost $1 million. And so everyone involved said, this makes no sense. We're not going to do that. FDOT reached out to the local engineers who were involved with the design of the Pensacola termination of the bridge and all the road work involved with that, and said, find a local architecture firm that understands the community, can handle the controversy of doing something like this, and create a design that people can get behind. And so we were so thrilled that they reached out to us. And we began working, and really what happened is just regulation. It's just hard to get in the way. It gets in the way of a lot of things. And the short story is Grover was working really hard to make all of that happen before he got out of office.
Sure.
And you know, again, government just didn't cooperate with the schedule of his term. And one of the very, very first things, in fact, really, like the day of DC's swearing in, one of the first meetings he had.
All right, hey, just Scott, with, just to tell you got about 1 minute.
All right, was with us to get this sign going, I mean, to get a welcome structure going. And his idea was, I really want to make sure that the community feels a part of the design solution, and I really want to support art. And so it was DC's idea to get artists involved with a competition. And we, of course, didn't want to stand in the way of that. And it's like, we're here to serve the city. However you want to partner, I'd love to build a relationship with an artist. Let's do it. And that's what happened. And we insisted that we have a blind review. And so my team and others sat on a committee. There were art people and art experts and city staff, and sat in a room, and we looked at about 25, I think, maybe a little more entries, and reviewed them, and they were all ranked. They were all blindly submitted, and we ranked them. And the one that won wasn't our number one choice for the firm, but it was definitely in the top three.
Outstanding. Hey, Scott, I hate to cut you off, but man, I tell you, my favorite part of it, aside from the light up poll, is the ground build of it being like on a dock with the surrounding of the seagrass and the sea. Scott Salas from Dalrymple Salas, thanks so much, man.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Tens of thousands of commuters in Philadelphia are working out new ways to get around this morning. An elevated section of Interstate 95 is destroyed by a tanker truck fire underneath.
There was a recovery scene. There was no sign of a driver, so they essentially said he was likely incinerated and crushed by the slab that came down. They broke apart that slab overnight, took it away in pieces in a dump truck, and now they can start to rebuild once they recover the remains of that tanker truck and that driver.
Fox 29 Philadelphia's Steve Keeley. Former Italian Prime Minister Berlusconi died. He was 86.
He owned a media empire and an all-conquering soccer team. He was convicted of tax fraud while constantly surrounded by sex scandals and allegations of corruption. Despite all that, Silvio Berlusconi somehow found the time to lead four Italian governments.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Berlusconi was hospitalized Friday for leukemia treatment. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. It's a warm one out there today. Already 83 degrees this morning. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says seven people were taken to the hospital over the weekend. This is after an incident at the Nikko Japanese Steakhouse in Pace. Information has been going around online that the case could possibly involve exposure to narcotics. However, those details have not yet been confirmed through the sheriff's office. Deputies are investigating, along with the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, a separate investigation underway with the ATF. Pensacola police looking into a shooting downtown that wounded one person on Sunday morning. That happened early Sunday morning. Officers say they received several 911 calls reporting shots fired near Jefferson and Government Streets. One victim was shot multiple times in a parking lot. That person now in critical condition at a local hospital. Officers say the shooting appears to be related to a disturbance involving a large group of people. The first of two visitor appreciation days at the Naval Aviation Museum at NAS Pensacola is coming up on Saturday. The museum will be raffling off gift baskets valued at more than $100. Also, a Navy bomber jacket valued at more than $600. A second appreciation day set for next month. Looks like Governor DeSantis has another endorsement.
Republican Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt released a statement over the weekend calling DeSantis a strong and principled leader who could, he said, unwind the disastrous liberal mandates of the Biden administration. DeSantis had visited the Sooner State the day prior and received the endorsements of a former state congressman as well as 20 fellow Republican state lawmakers. Governor Stitt also suggests in a statement that DeSantis is a candidate who can win and keep winning as a two-term president. I'm Scott Carr.
Investigators say a Virginia girl that was missing was found over the weekend in Jacksonville. They say she was on her way to Tampa. The 11-year-old was found safe Saturday. The Bedford County Sheriff's Office says the girl was found with a man and woman. Their names have not yet been released. It's unclear the girl's relation to those two adults and why they were in Florida. A 22-year-old man died in a crash that involved a teenager in Baldwin County yesterday. That happened on Highway 98, right about mile marker 74. Alabama state troopers say a Dodge Dart was being driven by a 59-year-old man, hit a vehicle driven by a 15-year-old who was accompanied by a parent. 22-year-old Robert Baker Jr. was the passenger in that Dodge Dart, and troopers say he was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
It's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. That's K-N-O-X. Their family serving your family since 1929. For more info or free pest quote, of course, you can just visit them online at Knox. That's K-N-O-X. Visit KnoxPest.com. That's Knox. Knox them out. Not showing any problems. Berry Hill, Dogwood, Hamilton, Bridge Road, Glover, and Milton all clear. Anderson and Willard Norris Road not showing any delays either. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown or have any kind of traffic tip, you want to text it in. West Side and it looks like Mahaga Lane. Showing, is that right? Magaha Lane, I'm sorry, in Pensacola now showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock. If you have a traffic tip, again, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours, but things will be starting to clear up as we head into the rest of the day. High stay near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. As you go into Tuesday, 30% chance of a stray afternoon shower or thunderstorm, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 83 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. UBS says it has completed its takeover of embattled rival Credit Suisse. Nearly 3 months after the Swiss government hastily arranged a rescue deal to combine the country's two largest banks, in a bid to safeguard Switzerland's reputation as a global financial center and choke off market turmoil. It's a pivotal moment for the two Zurich-based rivals, whose combination has raised concerns about thousands of expected job losses, drawn rebukes and lawsuits over the terms of the deal, and stirred fears about the impact of creating a Swiss megabank that would be too big to fail. Senators have introduced two bipartisan artificial intelligence bills. As lawmakers in both parties agree, the government must get involved with the emerging technology. The first bill would set up transparency requirements when the government uses AI to interact with people. A second would create a new government office to assess whether the U.S. is keeping pace with other countries as AI technology develops. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. That's Your Money Now.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News. Traffic on the fives. Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance.
Certainly, we have almost 200 young people who are working within our county government or some of our partners. And to the directors and middle management people that don't think it's robbery to train someone to take your job, thank you. We know that it's challenging sometimes with young people to implement a culture that is foreign to them. But we do want to recognize all of the departments that are working with these young people.
No, that's true. That's Commissioner Lumen May talking about the summer intern program that's just kicked off last week.
And we signed up almost 400 children in our summer employment program. And when we first started, Steve, it was only 30 children. And we've signed up 40 children. To me, that's economic development. And Rodriguez, thank you guys for the free bus passes to make sure children get to work. I was impressed that some young people are riding the mass transit to get to their job because it's just that important to them. And we don't get articles written about that, and we don't get news things, but I think Molly's going to do one.
Andrew's going to do one, too. It's funny when these commissioners get all pissy about how we don't report the good news. I'm like, sir, all the time. I'm always looking for the good news to report if we can find it about the county, about whatever is happening. So, no, it's just not true. By the way, this, you know, the summer pass for the kids so that they can ride the bus for free. Or was it all year round now? Maybe it was all year round. I absolutely agree with that. I love letting and I have said this, I will say this again in case, you know, you hadn't heard me say it before. And I you know, hope Lumen May is listening. And if he's not, I will give him a call to propose this. I would advocate, because the buses make such a small share of their funding from, you know, what you pay to ride the bus. I would advocate for the following. Make the buses free and do a ridership survey. In other words, like, take away anything that is going to distort the ideal desired use of the bus, okay? And then study how many people are actually riding and which routes. And do that for a couple of months. And, you know, you probably have to do this, like, maybe in the summer and also during the school year, because they might be different things, okay? But I would like to find out. We've got this long-standing question of who really uses ECAT and how much and which routes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, of course, before it was run outside and there was all the union was involved. And now that it's in-house with Escambia County, do a ridership study, a really good one, which they've kind of supposedly been doing, okay? But make it free. Like, find out if people really had no barrier to riding the bus other than just, you know, finding one. How much would they use it and where would they like to use it? And then study it and then adapt the routes to what you see and then study it again. You know, put new routes in to accommodate what you think is really the best and also the not so best, you know, routes, and then keep it free. And you might find out, you know, you'd probably learn a lot by that. And I don't know if you can keep it free forever or not, but at least you'd find out what is the real demand from the public to be able to use these things. So anyway, I absolutely support making it free for the kids, and I say make it free for everybody, at least for a time, and then do a study to find out, well, what is the actual bus use demand?
But it's important that people recognize that every young, particularly African-American kid, is not shooting, not killing, not gangbanging, but we have some that are gainfully employed that are doing great work here in our community, and hopefully they will live, work, and play here in Escambia County, and finally we hope they pay taxes.
And pay taxes. Like you said, it's economic development, right? It's getting job experience. It's producing employees out of this, whether for the county or for the city or for just in general for having work experience. This is a good thing. Also, another good news note coming up later on this week.
I also want to make sure that everyone in the public knows that next Friday, the county, after many, many years of working on this project that started with my predecessor, Wilson Robertson, we will be breaking ground on a 39-acre boat launch project, boat ramp, park, camping spaces on the lower Perdido Bay. It's going to be a fantastic amenity for all the citizens, particularly those that live on the west side. So we're going to do that at 11 o'clock. This coming Friday.
So that should be Friday the 16th. That's good news. That's a cool thing that should be coming up. All good. Also, this weekend.
And then finally, I would like to invite anyone that would like to come to the Escambia County Fire Rescue Award Ceremony on Saturday, June 17th at 10 a.m. It will be held at the Marcus Point Baptist Church on W Street.
All good. And, you know, the host for that is going to be really good. He works in this studio. he didn't mention it, but I'll be emceeing that thing on Saturday, so I'm really looking
what
forward to
it. What time is it?
I think it's at 10 to noon at Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Nice.
I mean, I know because it's in my schedule, but I don't have it memorized, but I think that's right, 10 to noon. So looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time. And, you know, as anything to celebrate fire rescue, EMS, all that kind of stuff, that's going to be fantastic. One of the other things that came up in this meeting the other day, this is Thursday's meeting, is that, you know, we've had this discussion about the homeless encampments behind, like, but not really at the school at Brentwood Elementary, but, like, you know, behind east of Palafox and south of the Brent, like, south of the storage units and all of, like, east and south of there, basically. There's a big forest back there that people didn't know about. until this started to become an issue. Michael Kimbrell is a good friend and obviously an advocate for the homeless, runs the Alfred Washburn Center that's right there in that vicinity, and also Satoshi Forest elsewhere in Massachusetts.
A couple of months ago, our code enforcement violated a local property owner over some encampments that was on this property owner's property. At that hearing, I was present. The magistrate acknowledged that there was roughly, I would say, 50 to 70 camps on the property, and then ordered that the property owner remove those encampments as well as all of the garbage and debris that has accumulated.
Okay, so that's part one. That's where this started.
At that moment, I started reaching out from hearing that to many different branches of our local government and staff, asking where can they go? Where is this? What are we doing? And everyone has responded with, well, let's wait and see.
Okay, well, wait and see. We're now coming, you know, push coming to shove a little bit.
So in those 2 months, we are now at that the property owner has posted that he is going to be using, or they are going to be using, local law enforcement to trespass and arrest anyone who is on their property, which of course is their legal right to do. But we also need to recognize that there are 50 to 70 people that have nowhere else to go, and we are going to scatter them across our community where they are going to go to other places that they are not supposed to go. They are going to lose their belongings. It is going to further exacerbate the amount of time they experience homelessness. And all the while, for over a decade, we have been asking, where can they go?
All fair questions. And listen, you know, it's not great to have people that are in violation of the county codes. It's not great to have a maybe dangerous environment back there. At the same time, you know, where else will they be? And if the property owner doesn't really mind, you know, and if the people are getting services at Washburn, there's, you know, the question is, what's the problem? Now, I have heard from other people that one of the problems in that area is break-ins at properties. Okay, I've heard this. I don't know that, but I've heard that, so that might be. It might not be the invisible problem that we're just not hearing about. You know, like, that's also a possibility. But, yeah, I mean, where is your place going to be? Fair question. 437-1620, 437-1620. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brent, and Fairfield. And Fairfield not showing any problems at all. Clear from 12th to through to Palafox and W Street. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're trying to get HVAC work done in your home, it's heating, it's air conditioning, it's electrical, whatever the case may be, you want to be sure when you pick up the phone, you're calling a company that's going to give you good products, good installation, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. They will take good care of you. And right now, they have a limited time offer of $1,000 off of Briggs & Stratton whole home generator. If you're thinking about, you know, hurricane season. And I mean, look, we lost power at our house yesterday. You know, you can get a power outage at your house. It can be for a minute. It can be for an hour or two. That's part of the reason why you want a home generator, is just in case. $1,000 off right now, Briggs & Stratton. Free sewer camera inspections, and then if you do have to have work done, it's $250 off of those repairs. They are hiring now in Baldwin County, HVAC techs and plumbers, and they, of course, are now serving Baldwin County. Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Astronauts will be rocking the Gulfside Pavilion at Bands on the Beach with their high-energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Dance the night away at Pensacola Beach with Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets and no glass.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Like, what are my skills?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks. Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified.
Oh, that's awkward. That's from 2016. That, of course, was about Hillary at the time, but the tune changes. But, you know, this has been one of the arguments, right, is people are saying, well, how can it be fair that the prosecutions only seem to be against him and not against them? That's a fair question. Okay, but it doesn't, I mean, if it is only ever used against one side, then it's political, right? But does that mean you didn't commit the crime? No, it doesn't, right? This is, it's sticky stuff, you know, to figure out. It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of the longstanding, and I mean, just true, that black people are more likely to get arrested and more likely to get convicted than white people, right? Okay, that's, you know, that's accurate. And poor versus having some level of affluence, right? But does that mean that any individual person who gets convicted wasn't actually guilty? Well, no, it doesn't actually mean that either. Similar thing here. If it's used, if the Department of Justice is being used against, you know, Trump, and it's not being used against Hillary or Biden or other Biden or, you know, right, it starts to look like it's very biased. But does that mean that the actual crimes were committed? No, it doesn't mean that either. So 751 here on News Radio 92.3. Complicated issue. I still say I don't know how this is all going to turn out. And yeah, it's a mess. I mean, it's obviously a mess. And as many people have, I think, rightly pointed out, Trump probably could have avoided all of this if he'd have just given that back the documents when they asked. You know, if that had been the end of it, that would have been the end of it. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, speaking of former President Trump, he's expected to make his way back to Florida today ahead of tomorrow's arraignment. He'll stay in Miami tonight, deliver remarks tomorrow from his New Jersey residence after the indictment. It's been 1 month now since Title 42 was lifted at the border. So far, the predicted surge of illegal immigration has not appeared. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says that's because his state troopers have stepped up to fill in the gaps. Border crossings have dropped significantly, and in the last month, feds say they're averaging 3,400 daily encounters. The University of Wisconsin apparently has got a dream job out there. I'm filling out the application right now. They're looking for somebody who will taste test cheese products such as pizza. They say that whoever gets the job will have to taste a dozen pizzas and 24 cheese samples per week.
Have to? Don't you mean get to?
This is a job for Candy Beats. This is my job.
I think there's a lot of people that could apply for this job, and I think we would all like to have it. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, you know, earlier, about an hour ago, I was talking about this story I read about how doctors are, what they're finding is a challenge to get doctors to teach in the medical schools. because the doctors like to teach. They feel like they're bequeathing their expertise to the next generation, and they're molding young minds, and they're shaping the future, and they believe in the profession and all of that stuff. The problem is that students don't go to class. They just want to watch online. And in fact, they want to watch, like, you know, at time and a half, right? They want to just hear the information, and they don't want to have to wait through all of the difficulty of the time it takes. The problem is that when the kids aren't there in the class, the teachers don't want to teach. Because teaching is rewarding for feeling like you're connecting with the students. I know, I've taught for 10 years. It's fun. You know, teaching is fun. It's very rewarding. It's maybe a little hard to explain, but it's a little bit like being an onstage performer, right? And there's a certain kind of reward and feeling and feedback and all that if you're any good at it. And if you're bad at it, it's not fun. Anyway, so the teachers, the doctors, are being reluctant, are not as interested in teaching because they're not, you know, they don't get the satisfaction out of it because the kids aren't there. They'd rather watch online. So somebody texted me in and said, if you come up with an answer to the teaching doctors, please send it out. This is a real issue in medical teaching. I work at NAS with flight surgeons that teach new doctors how to be flight surgeons. And the doctors are frustrated with in-person teaching. One student said that hadn't sat in a classroom for 7 hours a day since had been in, you know, a junior in high school in 2012. So it really is a problem, and our teaching doctors are 55 years old or more, and they don't relate to the younger generation who want the online lectures, and of course they want to watch them at a time and a half playback, so they don't want to waste their time with it. So this, I mean, I hadn't even been thinking about that as uniquely a military challenge as well for the, you know, medical community, but it makes sense. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. Another kind of a light day today for the most part. A lot of stuff happened this morning, but it was cleared up before the show even started. Shemuckla Highway not showing any problems. It looks like Woodbine and Berryhill also clear. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, I heard the most interesting thing. It, frustrating, but like it made sense of a problem to me. I was talking to somebody at Coronation on Friday, which is always a great event. It really was particularly great. And by the way, side note, the band was awesome. Bag of Donuts from New Orleans. Best cover band I think I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, I was talking to somebody, and she is a speech therapist. And she works on her own. Like, she doesn't, you know, take insurance. She doesn't work through a school. She used to work with a school, but now she works on her own. So she only works with, like, you know, referrals and people who are, you know, willing to pay cash or whatever. But part of the reason her business does well is because there's, like, I think she said it was a 9 to 10 month waiting list for speech therapists. So getting a kid to see a speech therapist is kind of challenging right now. And we did this briefly. Our middle son was, you know, had trouble with his R's, okay? And even though we homeschool, you have access to the public school system, and he went to speech therapy for a little while. No, you know, no problem. Like, you would never know there was an issue there. So speech therapists do really, really good work. But she said, you know, there's really this backlog right now. There's way too much demand for the supply of speech therapists. And I said, well, is this kind of like everything else where we just don't have enough of the thing, you know, because COVID or because people don't want to work anymore because of whatever. She said, no, that's a factor. But she said the real issue is there are way more kids with speech disorders, with speech problems. And she said the reason is because parents, when the kids are young, instead of talking with the kids and interacting with the kids and talking around the kids as you do, because kids are annoying and obnoxious and they want attention all the time. You know, what was that little digital kid that you had back in the day, the toy that you, Tamagotchi, not those, but you know, they're always demanding your attention. That part is accurate. Kids always want your attention. Mm-hmm. Okay. And these days, a lot of parents, what do they do?
Here's a screen.
Here's a tablet. Here's a phone. And so kids are watching tablets and phones and interacting with those, and as a result are not getting person-to-person, this is her theory, okay, not getting person-to-person interaction and practice speaking and the correction that comes from speaking incorrectly when your parents say, no, you say it like this. So kids, the problem is not that there are not enough speech therapists, although that's a factor. The real issue is that there are way more kids that have speech pathologies because they haven't been getting the individual human interaction that most kids would get before you had easy access to screens. I thought, wow, that's terrible, but understandable. That's very, very understandable. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. If you're a parent of a young kid, I understand. We had three young kids, you know, and I understand it is very tempting to plop them in front of a thing. It look, there's something kind of almost weirdly magical about that screen, which should scare you a little bit. You know, how hard do you have to work to keep kids well-behaved when they don't have a screen in front of them? And then here's the magic wand. Go, kids. And like, that's frightening when you think about the power that it has. Okay, but put that aside, think about the effects. And here's one, just one, that this speech therapist says, you know, she is seeing in her practice with kids. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, bands on the beach tomorrow night. Bands on the beach. Thanks to Santa Rosa Island Authority. The Astronauts are going to have the stage at 7 o'clock. High energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond.
That's right. It's Jonathan Clark's band, man, they are a bad butt.
Oh, nice.
Best times you'll let. They're better than Bag of Donuts. I know, dude. I know.
Do they dress in clown outfits? Do they look like they're from Mad Max?
No, they look like they're...
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.